Blog Talk Radio.
Ready, Rob?
Let's get it going, Doc. Let's get it going.
Time for y'all to wake up. I'm just saying, it's time for y'all to wake up. That's all I'm saying. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Big weekend in sports, America.
Well, man. What?
Saints fans, Texans fans, Dolphins fans.
Oh, here we go.
424-243-9519.
I love it. I love it. I love it. Of course, welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, November the 13th, and you are officially talking sports with the 12th man. I am Andre Peterson, joined by Robert Ford, and as always, we're hype, we're excited, getting you ready, getting you excited for this explosive, jam-packed, and kind of controversial edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Robert Ford, I know, I'm just saying. How you doing this evening, sir? You doing all right, man?
Doing great, man. Still enjoying some of this leftover Dirty Bird gumbo, and, you know, put a little smoked sausage with it, a little shrimp, and we in good shape.
You know, I almost didn't have the show tonight because I was so upset about that game. So we weren't going to really – I was going to stop doing 12th man, but, you know,
no,
I decided
to go
back. And, you know,
hey, your
know.
Team is 8-1. My team is 4-5. My team has 5 losses, and I've been coming to do this show every week. We're being a good sport. So it's all in fun. So you got to come out here. You only got 1 loss. Be a good sport.
I'm being a good sport. That's why I was just joking, man. I was telling you, man. It kind of hurts, man. But you know, like you said, it's 1 loss. And I was thinking, I was like, you know, it will be the one game that you guys would win. So that's how it actually played out. But you know, that's okay. We're here. I'm on it. And you know, cooler heads have prevailed. But once again, for those that want to call into the show, tell us your thoughts. A lot of things going on. Don't trash talk too much, Saints fans. It's good win. I respect you guys. But those want to call in, the number is 424-243-9519. And also don't forget to check us out on Facebook, obviously Facebook.com/12thmansports, and also at Twitter, man, at the number 12thmansports.com. But I guess we got a lot of things going on, Rob. A lot of good things, and obviously a lot of big games, a lot of college football news. Man, amazing to see Alabama getting knocked off. We're going to talk about that a little later, and we're going to talk about
Johnny football.
Down to Texas. Yeah. What did you think about that real quick as we get ready to talk about a lot of things? Was that that kind of changed the landscape as far as how the national championship is going to go, or just amazing how that went down?
Well, yeah, that just goes to show you how tough the SEC is. I mean, it's just every week you're playing against somebody really tough. And that just goes to show you any given Saturday in the SEC, you can be beat, except, of course, there's a few cupcakes in the conference, but, you know, there are really a lot of good teams. If I'm not mistaken, right now in the BCS top 10, there's 6 teams from the SEC. That's unreal. It's, you have number 4, Alabama. You have number 5, Georgia. Number 6, Florida. Number 7, LSU. Number 8, Texas A&M. Number 9, South Carolina. 6 SEC teams in the top 10 of the BCS. I mean, that is unreal. It's tough. I mean, you almost have to say whoever wins the SEC, in my opinion, should automatically be playing for a national championship. And that may not be the case this year. If Oregon and Kansas State stays undefeated, and Notre Dame stays undefeated, you know, 2 of those 3 teams will be playing for the national title. But you can make a strong case. Whoever wins the SEC, whether it be 1 or 2 losses, deserves to be playing for a national title.
That's tough because, you know, you got a lot of love for the Pac-12. I'm sure they don't want to hear that, Rob. They want to hear that they have something to say, especially the way that Oregon's been playing. You know, I know Kansas State's kind of an aberration, what they've been doing. You got to give them some love, too, and obviously independent Notre Dame. So it's very interesting how this is. But, I mean, like I said, the SEC, it is the cream of the crop. But what do you think about those teams that are saying, hey, don't forget
hey,
about us?
Listen to me, Pac-12 country. Listen to me, Pac-12 country. And, you know, you know, if you want to call and argue with me, you know, I'm open. You know, I know we have a lot of listeners in the Bay Area. But listen to me, Pac-12 country. Pac-12, it's Little League, SEC is grown man football. I mean, let's just call it the way it really is. I mean, the SEC is grown man football. Pac-12 is Little League to the SEC. Let's just call it the way it is. Y'all want to call into the show and argue with me, 424-243-9519. You want to send us some questions on Twitter, at 12thmansports. You want to send some questions on Facebook, Talking Sports at the 12th Man. Visit our page, click like. But SEC, grown man football, Pac-12, Pee-wee football.
I cannot believe that.
What's our next stop?
I can't believe that, Rob, that just dropped the bomb. All right, let's talk about some big games this weekend, obviously. And I can't wait to hear the response. You know, maybe Rob is playing radio, but I love it, man. We'll keep it going. Saying the Pac-12 is Little League. Okay, let's talk about this. Let's talk about some interesting things. Let's talk about, we got a big game starting it off. Big time. Let me shoot this up. Actually, I got to look at the notes, show topics here. We got the number 18 USC at number 17 UCLA. So we're going to jump right into some Pac-12. We're going to be talking
about. Yeah, just jump right into some Pee-wee football.
So, right into it. Now, you know, I know Rob is trying to act like Jim Mora talking some junk here, but this is a very, very closely, there's like, I think UCLA is actually favored by 4 points in this game. So it's at UCLA. So what do you think about this? I mean, what are your predictions? Does Jim Mora have a chance to talk some junk here, or is he going to be kind of eating his words?
Well, I think this is a very, you know, of course I'm kidding a little bit about Pee Wee football, but, you know, in other words, basically what I'm saying, the SEC is still superior to the Pac-12. This is an intriguing matchup here. You know, Jim Mora, I think, is really doing a good job there at UCLA, and he may have a bright future here as well. These are two programs that are run by former NFL coaches. I know UCLA is the home team here, but I just like USC in this matchup. I just think they have more talent, at least on the starting line, than UCLA have. And even though, I mean, this is the Battle of Los Angeles, I mean, USC doesn't have to get on a plane to go play this football game. I mean, I like USC to go across town and go win at the Rose Bowl against UCLA here. I think they have better quarterback, of course, Barkley, and then the wide receivers at USC is just going to be too strong for UCLA.
Wow, I'm not sure what to think. I think Jim Moore is going to pull out something special on USC, and he's going to try to turn himself as a quarterback. He's going to try to pull something in there. He's going to figure out a way to pull it out. So I'm going opposite, man, just because I just have to be different from you in this game. So we'll see how that plays out. But, I like it. Let's talk about another pretty interesting game. We got number 23, Texas Tech, at number 24, Oklahoma State. Believe it or not, Oklahoma State is actually favored by 10.5 points. That's a pretty big spread. What do you think about this one, sir?
I like Oklahoma State in this matchup. I mean, I'm really impressed with the coaching job Mike Gundy is doing. I think he's one of the more underrated head coaches in college football. I mean, you could have easily made a case that Oklahoma State could have been in a national championship game against LSU last year instead of Alabama. And, of course, with the BCS rankings. But they're playing with a freshman quarterback, and he's doing a phenomenal job. And this Oklahoma State, they're balanced on offense. They're running the ball. They're passing the ball effectively. Better than average defense. Not a great defense. But I think he's quietly doing another sound job. And, if this team stays together here another couple of years, like I said, they're playing with a freshman quarterback. West is doing a phenomenal job running that offense. I like Oklahoma City in this matchup. Oklahoma State, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree. I like Oklahoma State big time. Like you said, a lot of good things are playing well. They're on a roll, and, I agree 100%. Let's talk about the last matchup that's pretty big going on this weekend. We have number 13. I love you saying the best for last. Number 13 is Stanford at number 2, Oregon. Now, believe it or not, Oregon.
Not a Pee Wee football game, huh?
I don't know how that played out. But Oregon,
I'll at least say this, though. At least the Pac-12 football is entertaining. The Big Ten football is just like watching paint dry.
Yeah.
Big Ten football is horrible. But let's move on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all good. No, I like it. I like it. It's good stuff. I think that we got number 12, like I said, number 13, Stanford at number 2, Oregon. Oregon's actually favored by 20.5 points. 20.5 points. Man, I don't know. We're not gamblers, but that's a tough number to actually go against. But anyway, I'm going to defer to you. What do you think about this particular matchup?
Well, Oregon has been having huge spreads the entire season, and they've been covering those spreads. But I think this is going to be the game where they're going to win, but they're not going to cover. That's just my opinion. I like Oregon to win this game, but I think Stanford maybe loses maybe by 10 to 14 points here. Stanford is a pretty good defense. We'll see if they can slow down this Oregon high-powered offense. But I like Oregon in this matchup. You know, sorry to you all listening in the Bay Area. But I like the Oregon Ducks to pull this one out.
Gotcha. Once again, for those who want to call in, tell us your thoughts, man. Are we crazy? Are we nuts? Let us know. The number to call into the show, it's 424-243-9519. Also, don't forget to tell us your thoughts on Facebook, via Twitter. We got a lot of ways to get in touch with us. Rob called the Pac-12 Pee-wee. Like I said, the SEC is kind of the ruling. We're in the South, obviously, so we got to go that. But not... No disrespect, obviously, but just I think a lot of tougher teams. But, it's what it's all about. As we move right along to another interesting topic, and, of course, if you were under rock, you knew that Alabama was knocked off by none other than Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel of Texas A&M. If you're in Alabama, I'm sure you're not too happy with what went down. But, it's okay. Good news. The earth still spins around. We're okay. I got to tell you, Rob, the first time I heard about Johnny Manziel, the very first time, I didn't see the brother. And I did think he was a black quarterback. I'm like, man, this guy is, like, running almost for more yards than before Griffin. And I'm like, I'm still respecting the cat. But is he a redshirt freshman, actually? I think he's a redshirt freshman, if I'm not mistaken. And actually turning the football world on fire. And the biggest question that we have is he – does he have a shot at the Heisman? And this is a pretty interesting question. And we've gone through the whole show, going through Geno Smith. We got your boy from Notre Dame, Mateo. You got a lot of different guys. And now Johnny Football does the amazing and beats Alabama. What do you think? Does he have a shot?
I'm going to say he's going to receive some votes, and he may even get invited to New York City. But right now I have to go with Colin Klein, the quarterback at Kansas State. I mean, right, they're number one ranked in the country right now. They're blowing people out. This guy is running. He's strong. They're undefeated. And I would have to go with him right now. I know early in the season, I think you and I both had Geno Smith. He's kind of quieting down now. But I have to go with Colin Klein, quarterback at Kansas State right now, to be the favorite to win a Heisman. That's just my opinion. Johnny Manziel may be third, fourth, or fifth, somewhere in that ballpark in the Heisman ballot. I believe he will get an invite to New York, but he'll come up short. And there's never been a freshman to win a Heisman, so I think that may hurt him a little bit as well. So, but I have to go with Colin Klein at Kansas State right now.
Even the great Tebow didn't accomplish that, too. But, yeah, I agree with you 100%. I think he's going to get the invite. Like you said, he's definitely, you got those stocks. You got Bears and you got Bulls. He's definitely shooting up. But like you said, I don't know if it's kind of the fact that his team is not quite, they're not undefeated, like you said, as Colin Klein's team is and Geno Smith that we talked about too. But he definitely, I think it's good to get some type of excitement for the young man. And if he keeps playing the way that he's playing, I definitely think he's going to be definitely a favorite going on as the years go by, too. So we'll see how that plays out. Keep an eye on that.
SEC, we have to look out for this Texas A&M team. I'll tell you, Kevin Sumlin is a great coach. You got Johnny Football there for another 3 years after this year. And so this is not going to be a team to sleep on. Exactly. Of course, with myself being an LSU fan, we'll be playing Texas A&M every year now, being the fact that we're both in the SEC West. So it should be really entertaining and really fun to see.
I think it's interesting, too, because if you look at you got to give them props to Texas A&M, that is, because they kind of showed you a formula on how to kind of attack Alabama's weaknesses. And I think you guys were kind of on the cusp there, too, obviously a couple more plays. But,
I think LSU really exposed Alabama, and I think Texas A&M was able to kind of capitalize a little bit off of that as well.
I agree. Yeah, they were kind of able to throw against them. And if you're Nick Saban, obviously, there's only two ways you can go. You can either strengthen your team or you can, kind of learn from it, So You know, obviously, you know, Alabama's still kind of they're up there, obviously, but definitely Texas A&M showed a lot as far as how to kind of show them and kind of expose a lot of the things that they had, like you said earlier, too. So good stuff as always. We're going to switch gears and head towards the NFL, and let's talk about a lot of good things. We're going to talk about our top five teams and all that fun stuff, but obviously Monday night, Steelers had a lot of problems with Kansas City, and kind of goes to show you that, you know, there's no cupcakes in the NFL. I don't care what you say.
There's no school of the blind in the NFL. You're right.
Definitely, definitely not. So Steelers had some trouble, and, you know, obviously Big Ben going down, and the big question is, can the Steelers win without Ben Roethlisberger? And, you know, obviously you're asking a lot for that defense to do some things, and Big Ben is kind of the engine that makes them go. They've kind of changed their offense a little bit to be a little bit more passing, and now you got Byron Leftwich in the game. Not sure what's happening to Dennis Dixon. I'm not sure what's going on with that. But you asked the question, can they win without Big Ben? And I'm going to say no, point blank. I don't see enough of Byron Leftwich. I think the offense struggled a lot with him, and it's going to be tough for them. And like I said, there's a lot of key players that are hurt on defense. You got Troy Polamalu still kind of like nursing some injuries. I think they're going to struggle, sir. What about you?
Well, I think it depends on the opponent as well. Of course, Pittsburgh's playing Baltimore this coming Sunday night.
They're struggling against Kansas City, man. What do you mean? They're struggling against Kansas City.
Yeah, well, they were able to pull it out, too. So I think it depends on the opponent. Can they beat Baltimore this Sunday night without Big Ben? I would say the answer is absolutely not. I don't care if that game is in China. I don't care if it's in Baltimore, Pittsburgh. It doesn't matter. They cannot beat Baltimore without Big Ben. But it might be able to sneak over a team like Jacksonville, Cleveland, the Kansas Cities. They can probably still win with great defense running the football. You know, and Byron Leftwich, you know, he's got a strong arm. He's just got a slight hitch in his delivery. And so I think they can, you know, depending on their opponent, and, you know, they can win. But it's, I don't see them beating Baltimore at all. And I know we're supposed to predict this game here in another couple of segments here, but I guess I've already gave my prediction. I don't see Pittsburgh beating Baltimore without Big Ben.
Wow. Yeah, like I said, it's very interesting. Like you said, they had struggled against Kansas City. I know Kansas City is coming fine for that number one pick in the 2013 draft, but that's kind of interesting how they played out. But let's move on. Let's talk about some other things. We got to talk about our top five NFL teams, and you know, I'm going to go first this time because you know, I already know where you're going to go. So let me kind of jump mantle here, and I'm going to be objective. You know, obviously, as much as I was giving a lot of love to the Falcons for being undefeated, and now that is not the case. There are no undefeated teams in the NFL, so I'm going to have to go number one to Houston with a very, very impressive win versus a 7-1 Bears team, even though the Bears end up losing Jay Cutler. But you got to give them the props right now. Number two, I got to go with my Falcons still. I know it's kind of a slight drop, but you know, it was very impressive to see them kind of hold their water against the Saints. It was just you throw the records out with that. I'm kind of torn. This is kind of something we're going to talk about in the next segment, Robert, about whose teams are more important or whose quarterbacks, and that's kind of why it's tough to put Chicago up there. But I'm going to go San Francisco 3, Chicago 4, and the Packers number 5. So that's what I got for my top five teams. And let's see how your top five goes, sir.
Well, I think we are totally on the same page at the 1 and 2 positions. I did move Houston up to number one, and just been able to go on the road. A lot of times teams from the South have trouble going on the road and winning up north. You know, even without Cutler, that was a nasty game. Perfect kind of weather for Chicago Bears team, and Houston was able to play, you know, grown man football up there in Chicago and go up there and get a win. So that was pretty impressive. And dropped Atlanta down to number two slightly there with the loss. But still being in the number two spot is not all bad. And that both of those 8-1 teams at the 1 and 2 spot. And number three, I think this is where we kind of, you know, differ a little bit. I moved Baltimore all the way up to number three. They are playing some strong football. I thought they were going to slightly drop without Ray Lewis and without one of their starting cornerbacks there. But they are playing extremely well. They're 7-2. and look for them to go 8-2 this weekend against Pittsburgh. So I have them at number 3. I dropped the Bears down to number 4, as well as with a 7-2 record as well. And at number 5, I have the San Francisco 49ers. And so that kind of rounds out my top 5 currently in the NFL. I have the Green Bay and New England both knocking at the door to get to that top 5. But I have them slightly out as of right now.
Gotcha. Interesting. It's always good to you. That's why it's fun to be prognosticators. Like we have fun. We kind of add our own little twist and our own little thing to the equation. But once again, please feel free to let us know your thoughts, as always. I love it. Call us in 424-243-9519. And also don't forget to hit us up on Facebook and Twitter as well. We're going to move it right along, Sir Rob. We're going to talk about the top 5 tight ends in the NFL today. I have a feeling somebody in New Orleans is going to be number 1. But what do you have, sir?
Well, this is
And I agree with that, sir.
Watching the Saints-Falcons game this past Sunday, I tell you, the tight ends were putting on the show in that game. Both Tony Gonzalez and Jimmy Graham was putting on an incredible show for the fans, both over television and in person. And being there, I think those are the two top tight ends in the game, even though Gonzalez is scheduled to retire at the end of the season. And we as Saints fans hope he keeps his word and retire at the end of the season. We don't have to see him anymore. So, but I'm going to go with Jimmy Graham, number 1, and Tony Gonzalez, number 2. And, of course, Gonzalez is the best of all time, and I'm going off the current. And so I'm going to go with those two guys, 1 and 2. Number 3, got to go with Gronkowski up in New England. I think he's kind of in that same old big. He doesn't have the basketball pedigree, but he still uses his body well, get great positioning. And I think I have to go with him at number 4. Number 3. Number 4 may be a slight surprise, but he's kind of have a resurgent season this year. Heat Miller, tight end from Pittsburgh, is having a really solid year, strong year. And he's kind of had a slight drop off the last couple of years. But he's having a very good year, similar to what he had when he first came in the league. So I moved him up to number 4. And number 5, he's kind of taking a slight drop off. He had a couple of good games in a row now. I'm going to put Antonio Gates in the mix here at number 5. And he's also a former basketball player in college. Still uses his body well, gets great positioning as well. So I will put him at the number 5 position.
Gotcha. You know, I definitely agree with the first two picks. Obviously, like you said, watching that game, it was amazing to see a young Jimmy Graham doing his thing. He kind of respected Tony Gonzalez, doing a couple of dunks, and, you know, he's definitely a nightmare matchup problem. So you got to give him props, and, you know, maybe it has a lot to do with Drew Brees, the quarterback, but he's doing his thing. Tony Gonzalez amazes me. The ageless wonder, dude is 30-something years old, and he's still working out hard, and he's doing things that are amazing. He's like, he works with dumbbells so people don't like try to knock the ball out of his hand. It's amazing how he's still doing what he's doing. Number 3, you got to go Gronkowski from the Patriots. Number 4, we kind of differ. I still think he's kind of underrated here. We've maybe forgotten about him. Jason Witten is still up there to me. And I do like Antonio Gates, number 5, too. So that's kind of where I'm at. I know we've forgotten about Jason Witten with all the Cowboys struggles. But you know, like I said, that's who I have. And hopefully we'll look out for some young guys to kind of come up and kind of state their claim, too, because if you're a basketball player or a power forward trying to make it, you should just literally go and walk right to an NFL camp or try to get a tryout, man, because I'm sure that's the way to go nowadays, is getting those guys that are not quite big enough to make it in the NBA and kind of turn. And if you can catch, go to jugs machines and make it happen, for sure. That's what I would do.
Absolutely.
Man, moving right along, we've got about 5.5 minutes, sir. Let's do some fantasy shout-outs, sir, if you have some time, Rob.
Well, really quick, we would like to thank all of you all for competing the 12-man sports football, college pick'em, 12-man sports basketball. Really quick, in our 12-man sports fantasy football league, still in first place, Crazy Crew, Wayne DeGrange, still holding down a fort with a 7-3 record. We're still coming for you. But congrats to holding down that spot. But we have about another 7 weeks to go to see who's going to finish at the top. In college pick'em, yours truly, Robert Ford, still holding down the number 1 spot. I've added on to my lead a little bit, trying to hold off you all. And so we got a couple more weeks in the regular season here in college football. I need to try to hold on to the lead. And really quick, a shout-out in the fantasy basketball, Dr. Dunkenstein holding down first place. And I'm in second place in that league, too, so I got to catch Dr. Dunkenstein. Irv Daniels holding down the number one spot so far in fantasy basketball. Shout-outs to you all in the fantasy sports. Looking forward to continue to compete. And looking forward to more of you all competing with us next year as well.
Keep it going, guys. That's all I got to say. Unbelievable. All right. Let's talk about some a very interesting question here. Which injured QB is more important to his team? We got a lot of interesting scenarios here. You got Alex Smith, Jay Cutler, Michael Vick, and Ben Roethlisberger. And I think you can actually make a case for each having a different scenario. And, you know, basically if you look at Vic, you know, obviously he's got like a rookie behind him. Vic and the Eagles and the 49ers, they got like a not necessarily rookie, excuse me, but like a young player behind them. I think if you're the 49ers, and this is kind of a messed up situation, you were wishing that Alex Smith wasn't the guy, but you actually are realizing that he's actually the best for you guys. You know, obviously I know Colin Kaepernick is doing his thing, very, you know, interesting guy, but I think you'd rather have Alex Smith no matter what you say, no matter how much you hate the way he's, you know, he didn't make all the throws, but, you know, that's a situation where your defense is strong enough, but you would like to have Alex Smith in the game. Obviously, I'm going to turn over the thing to you, Rob, and obviously I think, you know, Vic, that's kind of a sinking ship with that. So I don't think that's kind of, they're kind of out of the mix too. You know, Cutler, interesting because Jason Campbell didn't do a lot, obviously, in that game. So you're kind of really missing him if you're the Bears. And same thing with the Steelers. So I think those two teams, there's different scenarios for each team, Rob. That's what I think.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to rank these guys as far as the most important city team. And I'm going to say number one, Ben Roethlisberger. I think he's more important to this team, and I just don't think Pittsburgh is the same team without him. They don't have a kind of, I mean, this guy is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's won two Super Bowls, and he's a game changer for the Steelers. He extends plays, and I think he's a game, I mean, he makes this team a legitimate contender. Next, I'm going to say Jay Cutler. And, yeah. You know, Jay Cutler, of course, has his issues. But, you know, Jay Cutler also can make big play as well. He's got a strong arm. He can run as well. And you just don't have that kind of development at the quarterback position when Campbell's in the game versus Cutler. So, and as you saw last year, the Bears were 7-1 or 7-2 before Cutler got hurt. And when he got hurt, their team went downhill the rest of the season and missed the playoffs. And they just was not the same team without Jay Cutler. And then a couple of years ago, even in the NFC Championship game, once he got hurt, I mean, there was no hope for them in that NFC title game. So I'm going to rank him a second most important out of these. Then we're going to go with Alex Smith. I'm not saying that Alex Smith is not important to his team. And I just think that Kaepernick can kind of hold the fort down with that great defense. And so I think they can still win some games without Alex Smith, even though Smith is the better option. And then number four, unfortunately, I have to put Mike Vick there. The Eagles are losing with them. And then with that offensive line, I don't think it really matters who's at quarterback. The quarterback is just going to get drilled. And, I mean, unfortunately, that's just the way it is with the Eagles. The offensive line, it just can't pass protect. They can't protect the quarterback, so I don't think it really matters who's back there. But I think we need to really end our live portion of the show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. Good night, world.
Good night, guys. We're going to talk about some NFL predictions. We're also going to get into some NBA. We're going to talk about the Lakers and Mike D'Antoni getting hired by the Lakers. Didn't see that one coming. Man, everyone, Phil Jackson, the Zen Master, was waiting for that call. Got hoodwinked. We're going to talk about that. Join us, listening afterwards. Rob, kind of wrap it up, sir.
Check us in on OT tomorrow. Click on the same link and you can listen to our OT portion. We still got more to talk about. NFL, college basketball, and NBA.
See you guys next week. Thanks for listening in. As always, there's a lot of love. Dre out for now. Good deal. We are now in the OT portion of the show. And as Robert mentioned, we got a lot to talk about. We got to talk about some NFL predictions here. We got some big games going on. First and foremost, let's talk about Indianapolis at the Patriots. This is a pretty big game. Andrew Luck is doing his thing. He had some challenges last week, obviously. I didn't have that good of a – I mean, he didn't put up his numbers like he put on versus Jacksonville like he did the week before. But what do you think about this game? I'm kind of leaning – obviously, the Patriots are the cream of the crop. Bill Belichick knows how to confuse rookie quarterbacks. I definitely think it's a tough environment for the Colts. They're playing with a lot of passion for Chuck Pagano, but I think New England's going to actually edge this game out.
Yes, I would agree with you there. I think New England will win this game. I mean, the coach got to be really impressed. I think Andrew Luck and Doug Martin are battling for the Offensive Rookie of the Year, but I think Luck will come up short here and at New England. Tough place for a rookie to go and get a win. I like New England in this matchup.
Let's talk about the next matchup. We got Baltimore at Pittsburgh. This was pretty interesting because we were talking about what's going on with Big Ben. Is he going to be back in time, number one? That's going to obviously have a huge impact on this game. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't think Big Ben is going to play this Sunday, and I don't think they should rush him back. And I think with the healthy Big Ben, I would pick Pittsburgh here. But I'm going Baltimore. Baltimore, even on the road, I just don't think Pittsburgh can win this game without Big Ben. And even if you put an unhealthy Big Ben, I still like Baltimore in this matchup on the road.
Wow.
Baltimore getting done on the offensive side of the ball this year, too. They're putting up a lot of points.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you 100%, too. Like I said, it's good. They're actually quietly kind of doing their thing in the AFC there. So, you know, I agree with you 100%. You know, Pittsburgh still having some challenges. It's a rivalry game, which is kind of tough, as you know. But, you know, I think Buffalo's going to pull us out without any problems. Next, another game that's definitely – this is interesting. Both quarterbacks, you got some questions if they're going to come back. Chicago at San Fran. It's at San Francisco. I don't know if we heard any word about the quarterbacks just yet. There's the battle of the backups. Now you're talking about which defense is going to actually hold up. What do you think about this game, sir?
I like San Francisco here. They're at home. These defenses,
yeah.
I like San Fran to win this game. I don't think either one of these teams starting quarterbacks are going to play. You know, you just can't put a guy in the very next week after concussion anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the least, these guys are going to miss at least one game. And so I think Kaepernick will be able to hold it down for a week. And I like San Fran at home.
Yeah, if you were watching the game versus Chicago, just it seems like Jason Campbell is just struggling a lot. And surprisingly, like I said, even though you have a younger quarterback, you know, you're expecting him to make a little bit more mistakes. But in this instance, you know, I think since they're at home, San Fran's got a slightly better defense, I would say. It's kind of almost evened out. But, you know, then you got to look at the team. You know, I think, you know, obviously Chicago is very opportunistic. But, you know, I give the edge to San Francisco because it's at their home place. So it's going to be a very close game no matter what. So we'll see how that plays out, no doubt. Rob, let's talk about some interesting things. Let's kind of move on to basketball. And very interesting news that's been going on, obviously. The Lakers fired Mike Brown, and they turn around and make some news with the hiring of Mike D'Antoni. You talk about somebody getting in the position like, oh, I got the job, really? But it was interesting. A lot of the demands that Phil Jackson made, I think he was kind of throwing out some stuff. And really, you don't want to coach road games? What's that about? You really think you're getting the job? I mean, I know that you're dating the daughter of the owner, but seriously, you can't do stuff like that. Come on, man.
Well, yeah, this has turned out to be quite a soap opera for the Lakers. And first of all, I want to go back to Mike Brown. Okay, he started off the season 1-4, not good. There's 82 games in basketball, and I personally totally disagree with firing a guy after going 1-4. In just his second season. You got to realize here, we didn't even have a full NBA season last year. We had a lockout short season. So he's even yet to coach the Lakers in the full season. And then you come back and you fire the guy after five games, after a 1-4 start, when you got a lot of new parts that need to gel. I just think that was a – I just think that, you know, I don't really want to say what I think it is, but I just think it's unfortunate that he fired a guy after five games. And I just think that that's crazy. And, you know, and since the firing, Bernie Bickerstaff is now – they haven't lost a game since. He's 2-0. And last I checked, they're up by five on the Spurs as we speak. So, I mean, Bickerstaff at least has them playing really competitive ball right now. But I just totally disagree with the firing of Mike Brown. That's just my opinion. I guess I'm entitled to it. I know we all have it. But I just didn't agree with the firing. But now that they have fired him, okay, I totally agree with you. Phil Jackson, I even said this a few days ago, you know, I would not hire a coach who couldn't go on road games, because that's probably when you need the most. You need your general there to help you to pull those games out in tough environments. And if he's not going to be there, I mean, you just don't want to hire a coach like that. So I actually think the Lakers made the right decision. I know a lot of their fans are not happy about it. They'll prefer to have Phil Jackson. But, no, you want your general. You want your leader being with you on those crucial road games. And so I think that was the right decision. Now, whether Mike D'Antoni was the right guy for the job, that's going to be determined here. I think D'Antoni is a phenomenal offensive mind. They like the up-tempo style team, but I don't know if he has that kind of personnel with the Lakers to run that style. I know they're rumored to possibly be hiring Nate McMillan to be his top assistant, and that will be a good standpoint from the defensive standpoint. Nate McMillan is a defensive coach. And Mike D'Antoni has proven that he is not a defensive coach. So getting a guy like McMillan to help him on that side of the ball would definitely help. So I'm not totally convinced it's the right hire for the Lakers. I've said it several times on the show. I'm not a Laker fan, so I hope they lose every night. But I'm just calling the way I feel. But it's going to be interesting to see. I'm not so sure that this was the right hire.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I don't think you're a fan of D'Antoni, so that's just, you know, we'll talk about that later on. But, you know, I agree with you as far as, you know, Mike Brown, kind of a tough scenario, and he got fired kind of early. And, you know, the same thing could be said about the D'Antoni offense because, you know, with your Mike Brown, you know, the Princeton offense, it's said that you need to have a lot of younger players to kind of run that, you know. So, and the same thing with the style that D'Antoni, he wants this up and down type of style. I'm sure it helps Steve Nash a lot. Maybe Kobe didn't like what Mike Brown was emphasizing, which is why, you know, he was kind of, he didn't really have anybody fighting for him. But, you know, like I said, it's very interesting to see how everything played out. And like you said, Phil Jackson, you got to be on the road, man. I don't understand how you even can. I mean, I guess as in master, you think you can just say anything and everything's going to fly. But that's just one of the most interesting statements. I've never heard a coach say that I want to coach the team, but I don't want to coach on the road. That's just amazing to me. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But, you know, it is interesting. We'll see how the Lakers do. You know, like I said, Bickerstaff has got them playing well. You know, sometimes you need to leave things alone, and if Nate McMillan comes on, we'll see how that goes. But like you said, I agree with you. I'm not a Lakers fan. Maybe they're thinking that they have to outscore everybody. if you look at Oklahoma City and a lot of teams out in the West, or that maybe they're thinking that, you know, to compete, they have to kind of have a different type of style. So we'll see if that holds true. Lakers are kind of old, so, you know, unless they get some young legs, it's going to be interesting to see if they can play that type of style, no doubt, no doubt, sir.
One other quick note I want to make on this is look at the New York Knicks right now. They're the only team that's undefeated so far in this short NBA season. But also, the Knicks' record last season after D'Antoni got fired, I mean, they were playing impressive basketball. I mean, I want to say they were like 16-5 after he got fired, maybe off just slightly on the exact record. But they just turned it up a notch, and Mike Woodson has done a phenomenal job there. after D'Antoni got fired, you know, stepping it up on a defensive end. And now so far they're the only undefeated team in the NBA. And so, I mean, you look at that situation and see how well that team is playing after D'Antoni got fired. And ought to scare you a little bit if you're a Laker fan, just to see how well they've turned it around after the firing. And now you're hiring that coach. And so it should be interesting to see. But I just wanted to make that point as well.
That's just coincidence, Rob. What are you talking about, man? D'Antoni, when he's the one that got the Linsanity started, man. Without him, there's no Linsanity, man. Come on, man.
Linsanity hadn't met a guy in the NBA he can guard yet.
Uh-oh. You don't have to guard, man. His definition of defense is outscoring the other man. Come on, man.
That will work for you if you played in the 70s and 80s. That don't work in the NBA anymore. The NBA has definitely become a defense-first league, and so you've got to get it done on a defensive end in order for you to win.
Yeah, you know, I'm just joking a lot of times, but it's all good. It's all good. Let's talk about college basketball season is upon us, man. Very excited to see a lot of games up and coming. Interesting game that's going on right now. You got Duke versus Kentucky, and this is a tale of two teams. You got a team that's a little bit more, you know, got some more senior leadership going with Duke versus the young guns, the young freshmen at Kentucky. Currently, right now, looks like Duke is up 68-63. Looks like they're going to pull this game out. Actually, is what it looks like. You know, you can't fault the Kentucky guys from playing. What are your thoughts about this, Rob? Are you excited? I know we hate talking, you know, puke stuff, but, you know, you got to give love because we're a national show. What do you think about this, sir? Any thoughts about this?
Well, I've been taking a peek at this game. I've been impressed with Duke so far, but I will say I'm not so sure how good Kentucky is so far. They struggled to beat Maryland the other night. I mean, this is a young team. Last year, they just had a special group of freshmen, and it turned out to be the top two picks in the draft, Anthony Davis and Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. It don't look like they have any two freshmen as good as those two guys. And so what I look for this Kentucky team is I think they're going to struggle early in the year, and I look for them by January or February to really start playing their best ball and make a run in March. And so I think what you can see right now is that as of right now, Duke is the more seasoned team, and they're the better team. And it's showing. Nerland Noel, he doesn't seem like he's an Anthony Davis type player that a lot of people thought he could possibly be. He's not that kind of game changer just yet. But I look for this team to get better as the season goes along. I don't think they'll be a national championship team like last year's Kentucky. I mean, Kidd-Gilchrist and Anthony Davis were just two special freshman players, and they turned out to be the top two picks in the draft. And so that was a special team. And so obviously this is not the same kind of team at Kentucky this year.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Like you said, Kentucky, they keep getting a lot of talent. So, you know,
absolutely.
Maybe they'll gel later on, and you know, it's like you're just reloading if you're Kentucky. But, you know, like you said, I think there's no one quite like Anthony Davis. You know, Gilchrist was kind of like, he kind of did his thing, was able to kind of like grow that team. I don't know if he has stronger will than Tyler Hansborough, but, you know, he's able to do a lot to kind of will his team and do what he has to do it took him too long to get that shot, but that was okay. But, you know, good stuff. Well, Rob, we got about 2 minutes left in the OT portion of the show. I guess you want to set up next week and kind of like get some final thoughts as we get ready to wrap up another great controversial fun show.
So controversial.
I know. I'm just saying because of the rivalry with the Saints, man. It's all good, man. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we'd like to thank you all again for listening. Please visit us on Facebook, Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Like us on Facebook. We'd love to share lots of information with you all. Once again, follow us on Twitter at 12th Man Sports. We would love for you all to connect with us on there as well. And make sure you join us on next Tuesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific. That's 5 p.m. in Hawaii. Call in and talk to us next week, 424-243-9519. We'd love to connect with you all on the show as well. We'll be recapping college football, previewing college football, recapping NFL, previewing NFL, NBA talk, how the Lakers are doing with D'Antoni. We have all of that and much more on next week's show, and we look forward to talking to you. via Twitter and Facebook until then, and as well as talking to you on the show on Tuesday night. Any closing remarks, Andre?
No, I just want to say, like, I want to reiterate what you said. Just want to thank everyone for listening to the show. We appreciate it. We know it's kind of late, you know, but it's fun. If you just want to listen up and check us out in the archive section, that is great. We'd love getting your feedback. And, you know, we